Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I am pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us so that we would have a new life, a life of freedom. In our last study, we reflected on the theme, free from sin to live to God. We have seen that in baptism we have been buried with Christ. Our sin has been fully paid off. And in baptism we also have been risen with Christ. As a result, death has been overcome and we are free to live to God as his servants. Today we would like to continue reflecting on the new life of freedom and focus particularly on the theme, free from the law. Let us start our journey listening to the words of the Apostle Paul written in his letter to the Romans chapter 7 verses 1 to 6.
Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive, but if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit.
It seems that St. Paul makes a comparison between the law of marriage and the law of God, to which we are bound.
Yes, St. Paul traces a comparison between the freedom of a widowed spouse to marry a second time and the freedom of a Christian from the law of God. The readers of Paul's letter would be familiar with the laws of marriage in force in those days. By the way, the same principles are valid to this day because they reflect precisely what God teaches about marriage. When a man and a woman enter into the state of holy marriage, they vow to love each other, to be faithful, and to remain united as long as both live. That makes of marriage a lifelong bond. If this bond is broken by unfaithfulness, either on the part of husband or wife, and he or she lives with another person or marries another person, then sin of adultery is committed. However, if either husband or wife dies, the lifelong bond comes to an end. Consequently, a widowed spouse does not violate wedding vows by remarrying. A widowed spouse is legally free to remarry without transgressing the law.
It seems that in these teachings, a principle is laid down which applies to Christian life.
Precisely. The principle the Apostle Paul is laying down is this. The law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Death decisively changes a person's relationship to the law. This principle of freedom is now applied to the Christian. Paul says, "My brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead." Who in fact died was Christ, for he took our place under the law. He submitted himself under the law of God and under the requirements of the law. With his obedient life, Jesus fulfilled the law for us, and with his sacrificial death on the cross, he paid for our transgressions. That means that the power of the law to condemn no longer threatens us, and that the law has no more hold of us. Through Christ's death, we are free from the curse of the law. We have been released and belong to the Lord who has been risen from the dead. Christ is our master. We are his servants. Having been freed from the law follows a new life that bears fruit for God. The old life in the flesh bears the fruit of sinful passions, rebels against God and his law, and eventually plunges a person into death, that is, physical death and eternal separation from God. That old life, however, belongs to the past, says Paul. Now we are free to serve in the new way of the Spirit. We are free to live a life of faith, given by the Holy Spirit, a life that bears fruits of righteousness.
Since we have been freed from the law, is there anything good in the law? Does the law still have any function and purpose in the life of a Christian?
Paul reflects on these points in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 to 13. Let us listen to what he says.
What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good, then, bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure.
Is it correct to say that if there wasn't any law, there wouldn't be any transgression?
Correct. If there was no law, there would be no transgression. What is classified as transgression or sin is based on the existence of a certain law. The act of Adam and Eve eating of a certain fruit has been reckoned as sin because God had given the commandment, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Driving through a red light signal on the street is considered a serious fault because there is a law that commands the motorist to stop when approaching a red light. Paul says, apart from the law, sin lies dead. In other words, something is only sinful if God forbids it.
Interestingly, human beings tend to rebel against the law. Is that the case?
Yes, it is quite common for people to question and to challenge the law. It seems there is a desire to do precisely the forbidden thing. In this country, everybody knows that selling alcohol to people underage is forbidden. Since it is forbidden, youngsters might challenge the law in getting alcoholic drinks through older people. Once possessing alcoholic drink, there might follow a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of reward for having got the forbidden thing.
Considering that there is sin because there is law, considering that the law produces rebellion and stimulates the commitment of sin, then the conclusion would be that the law is evil and that the very law is sin. Is it really? Is the law to be blamed for our sins?
By no means. Paul strongly states that the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. By law is meant God's holy will, which is summarized in the Ten Commandments. The law is holy because it has been designed and given by God himself, who is holy, that is, faultless. The law is righteous and good because it has been designed and given by God himself, who is righteous and good. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the theological college of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalised invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programmes.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are reflecting on Paul's letter to the Romans. We have seen that Christ has freed us from the curse and punishment of God's law so that we can live a new life. We have also seen that God's law is holy, righteous, and good.
If the law is holy, righteous, and good, what is the role of the law in our lives?
The law plays a crucial role in our lives. The apostle spells it out in the following statement. If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." In other words, the law reveals our sins. Paul gives an example. He says that we would not realize that the desire to possess what belongs to the neighbor, that greed and jealousy, are sins if God didn't reveal it in the commandment, "You shall not covet." The same applies to other things. We would not know that shoplifting is sin if God hadn't given the commandment, "You shall not steal." Could you imagine what your face looks like if you never had gazed into a mirror? Certainly not. So in a certain sense, God's law works like a mirror. If we place our lives in front of the mirror of God's law, if we compare our thoughts, feelings, attitudes, words, and deeds with what God requires in His commandments, we clearly notice where we have failed. The commandments reflect our sins. The law, which we badly failed to obey, shows us that the wages of sin is death. The law makes us realize and convinces us that we desperately need help. We need to be freed from the curse and punishment spelled out in the law. Once we realize that we deserve punishment, even death, because of our transgressions of the law, then we are ready to receive good news.
Have I understood correctly that there is good news for transgressors of the law?
You got it right. In His love, God assures the heartbroken and sorry sinner that He loves him the way he is. God brings the good news that He gave His Son Jesus to die for our sins, and that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. While we Christians live in this world, we are involved in a daily struggle. Though free from the curse of the law and forgiven by Christ, a sinful nature dwells in us side by side with a new spiritual nature. The Apostle Paul describes the ongoing battle within us in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. He says,
"For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin.
St. Paul speaks in the first person. Repeatedly he says, I. Is he referring to his own life experience?
He certainly is. Paul realizes that a war is going on in his inner being. Two opposing natures are in constant battle. One is the flesh, as Paul calls it, or the sinful nature. And the other is the new spiritual nature created in the believer by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the same applies also to you and to me? We join the apostle and must admit that nothing good dwells in us, that is, in our flesh. Sin contaminates our whole being, our soul, our body, our mind, and our heart. This sinful nature uses its full power to do what is evil. More than that, the sinful nature delights in doing evil. In contrast to this sinful nature, the new spiritual nature always employs all its power to do what is righteous. More than that, it delights in doing what is righteous. The new spiritual nature constantly wants to do and live according to what pleases God.
That builds up a huge tension, doesn't it?
It does, because two opposing natures or forces wage war against each other. That causes a huge tension in a Christian's life to the point that one might even not understand what he or she is doing. The tension is the following. As a Christian, I know what is right. I know that I must do what is right, and I want to do what is right. I totally agree with that. However, in practice, what happens many times is that I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. As Christians, we struggle with our sinful nature. We have sinful desires, although we know they are wrong. We try to avoid sin, but we fail shamefully.
Could we think of some examples how this happens on a daily basis?
Yes, let me think of some. We know that speaking the truth is the right thing to do, and we want to speak the truth. However, we end up telling our friend a big lie. We know that being thankful to God and being happy with what He has given us is the right thing, and we want to be thankful. However, we end up complaining and moaning about our salary, about the house we are living in, about the family we have got. We know that we shall use God's name to pray and to praise Him, and we want to do that. However, we end up cursing and swearing for insignificant things. In summary, we know God's will and we desire to do it, but we have not the power to accomplish it. Even if we try hard, we fail. In frustration and grief, we cry out with the Apostle Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?"
Is there any way out of this struggle? Is there any means of delivering us from our failures which lead to death?
Yes, there is a way out and there is a means to delivering us. Paul points out the only one who can deliver me. He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I can't do it on my own, but Jesus Christ can. In fact, he did already. Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty of death for my sins. Christ rose from the grave and obtained victory over my sinful nature. He rescued me from death and restored me to life. Although I sin daily, Christ continues to forgive and to restore me. Eventually, on the last day when he will return from heaven, Christ will raise my body from grave and will release my soul and body from all evil forever. God's message of love is for people. So let us listen to what people have to say. Today we would like to ask some questions to Roslyn about the relevance of God's message in her life. Roslyn, some of the significant words in the letter of Paul to the Romans we considered today are these in chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 25. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Rosalind, as you notice, the Apostle Paul is talking about a struggle that goes on in him with two opposite forces. Could you give an example how this struggle appears in daily life?
I think this is something that everyone experiences. Good intentions that they might have for doing something nice for a friend or how they want to conduct themselves, and then afterwards falling short of their own expectations. For me, for example, I try and avoid office gossip as much as possible, but almost every week, at the end of the week, I can think I engaged in a few conversations that I should have avoided, or doing things that I wish I hadn't done. So I think there is, in a larger sense as well, what people want to do with their life and their career or their vocation. People want to serve God in everything that they do. They have this good intention, but sometimes you find yourself grumbling about your everyday work or not doing things in a spirit of service as you wish you would.
The will is there, but the power isn't.
And I think that is something that everyone does feel at certain points, or something I feel on a regular basis. And sometimes when that happens to me, I remind myself that anything that I do that is good, anything that I'm proud of, I shouldn't take credit for that. It's actually God working in me, or he's done something good through me. And so when I've done something bad, in the same way, I can ask forgiveness for that. But I also believe that, you know, anything I do under my own power isn't going to be successful. I need to rely on God's power to do the things that he wants me to do.
I think that's very important, Roslyn, because as we have seen in this text, the Apostle Paul, he describes his own struggle, and then at the end he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he points to this fountain of strength and of help that we as Christians have at our disposal. How important is it for you, Roslyn, to be able to count on this source of help, namely on Jesus?
It's very important for me because I've grown up in the church, and I've always had, as part of my worldview, a sense of God being there and being on my side. So I do rely on it, and I sometimes take it for granted how much God is looking out for me. And I think when I'm struggling with things, if I can pray about it, or if I think about other Bible verses, for example, where we're encouraged that when we're weak, when we're struggling in our lives, that's when we're actually the strongest, because that's when God is there supporting us and carrying out his will through our lives as well. So yeah, it is important for me to rely on God and rely on my faith for encouragement and also for strength and inspiration in everyday life.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk. Locate on the website directory, and there you will see a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. We hope you will join us to reflect on the theme, Life in the Spirit and Heirs with Christ. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. Please stay tuned in to Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.